Ephesians chapter number 6. And we're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12, and 13. And then we're going to go back to the verses that we're going to be dealing with this morning. Again, all month long, we've been talking about the Christian home, And this morning, we're going to start on the roles of the husband, the role of the wife, and the role of the children. And everybody has a specific role. We're going to start that today. Again, keep in mind, be able to stand, be able to withstand, according to Ephesians. And then, having done all to stand, the Bible says, stand therefore. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in your Bibles, verse number 10. Notice the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Read verse 11 with me. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He gives you the reason in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. In other words, he says, the enemy that you are fighting against, you cannot see. Read verse 13 along with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. By the way, the world is still against families. The devil is still against families. He's against children growing up pure. He's against children being godly. He's against children being holy. He's against children being respectful. He's against children being kind. He's against that because he knows if these same kids can grow up, they'll be an adult the same way.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Come back to Ephesians chapter number 5 with me. And there's three main things that we're going to look at in the roles defined in the marital relationship. There is the husband, there is the wife, and there is the child. Verse number 20, I've got a new Bible here, so y'all bear with me, amen. 22, read that one with me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The role of the woman is one of submission. You say, preacher, this is 2017. I don't care if it's 2025. The Bible still says the wife's role is submission. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Verse number 25, read that one with me. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, she's unlovely. God didn't ask you that. He said, love your wife.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Love your wife. And then he says, not any old kind of way, but as Christ loved the church, and Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. And so the husband should be willing to give everything for his wife.
Yes, sir.
And then the child is in verse number 1 of chapter number 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I hear children say, I got so much to do. I got to do this. You don't have to do anything but obey your parents and the Lord, for this right. But I got to do this. You just have to obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That's all you have to do. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the roles defined. And as we look at the roles defined, we're going to look at some things, biblically speaking, that I pray will be a blessing. We will in no way finish it today. It'll be the introduction today, and then we'll probably finish up next week. And so if you don't find your role mentioned today, come back next week, and it will be talked about. Amen. Say, preacher, you trying to get us to come back next week? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible clearly stands. Thank you that it gives our roles. Talks about what the wife should do, what the husband should do. Talks about what the children should do. Thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign and divine in what you have said that we ought to do. Lord, I pray that today we might look into the blessed word of God and see and sense our need to play our role. Husbands ought not to play the wives' role, and wives ought not try to play the role of the husband, and children ought not try to play the role of the parents. We all have a part to play. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you for allowing us to see friends from our past. And Lord, I pray for those that are not able to be here today. Lord, though several of our folks are out, some traveling, some ill. But Lord, those that are here, may we hear from you today. what we want to hear the blessed word of God and what we need to do in our own lives to make our homes a blessed place. Lord, we sing the song all month, Lord, bless our home. Lord, before the home will be blessed, the individuals in the home must be blessed. So, Lord, bless us with the instruction that we need to hear today. And Lord, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ, if they were to die and they are unsure that heaven is their home, make it crystal clear to them that they must be born again. They must receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, I pray that they would leave here gloriously rejoicing. It has been good to be in thy house today. Lord, may none of us leave the same way we came in, but may we all leave differently. A little bit more godly, a little bit more holy, a little bit more obedient, Lord, a little bit more like you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Change us today into the image of Jesus Christ by the word of God. And we'll thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Gary's going to come sing for us, and then we'll get into the message. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. The song is Stand, and that's what we need to do. Stand for the Christian home. Amen. It is still God's way of getting a society replenished, and the home is where we come from. Amen. Last week and all this month, we've been talking about the Christian home and standing, and of course, we went through the areas there in Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, how we need to stand. And the emphasis now is on the Christian home. I'm convinced that in 2017, if you were to ask someone what is a typical, traditional, biblical home, they would not know. I'm telling you. We have so confused the lines now. Folks call two daddies in a home, the home. They call two mamas in a home, the home. They call everything under the sun a home. And by the way, that is not the biblical example of, they say, preacher, you're getting mean already. No, I'm not getting mean already. I'm just trying to make a point that what we see is not what God intends. And so in order for you and I to understand what a home is supposed to be like, we've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Bible and see what it is. Amen. Because we don't get back to the Bible, we will not know what it is. The word home means one place of residence or one's place of dwelling, the social unit formed by a family living together. Biblically speaking, there is a man, a woman, married, and then bearing children. I understand there are single parent homes where there's a guy, a dad in the home, and a lady in the home, and the husband or the wife has left. I understand that. I understand that folks have been divorced and remarried. I understand that. And I'm not here to talk about that this morning. I'm here to talk about the original blueprint that God has put down, that you and I need to get back to the place where we understand what I'm supposed to do in the home. I don't just show up in the home and do whatever I want to do. By the way, do you let your children do whatever they want to do? I didn't think so. If you do, that's not much of a home. That's chaos.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen.
Sure it is.
And if the husband is doing whatever he wants to do, that's chaos too. If the woman is doing whatever she wants to do, that's chaos too.
Oh, amen, Pastor.
Say, preacher, what? They're a unit. They work together. They're interlocked. And they work together to create the home. No one person is an island by themselves. One place of residence or the social unit formed by a family living together where there's a man and a woman. Last week we looked at the one flesh union, how God created man and said that it wasn't good for him to be alone. And so he created a woman after taking the rib from his side and making this woman and bringing this woman back. And so God took from man, made woman, and brought woman straight back to man.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. God is good like that. He took something as insignificant as a rib from the man, ugly looking as a rib is, and only good for one thing, and that's barbecue ribs, amen, and took that rib out and made a woman and brought it back to the man better than it was when it was taken out.
Yes, sir.
God is just good like that.
Yes, he is, Pastor.
And so that's what the home is supposed to be, the one flesh union. Today, we'll look at the two leading roles played in the Christian home. We'll look at the wife and the husband. First, though, we must know what role has been assigned to us. God assigns your role as a male or a female when you're born, and his role for you never changes. I don't care how many sex changes you have.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can have all the sex changes you want. It doesn't change God's original design and intent and plan for your life. Now, I'm not out here to bash these folks that have had sex changes. I'm not out here to do that. I'm just saying that you trying to tell me that God made a mistake when he made you, so you got to change yourself? God don't make no mistakes. God knows exactly who he's trying to make. God assigns your role as male or female. His role for you never changes. If you're a male, then your role in the home and marriage is a husband. And you perform primarily as priest of the family, provider of the family, protector of the family, and preventer to the family. If you're a female, then your role in marriage is a wife. If you so get married, you perform primarily as helpmeet, homemaker, and housewife. Working outside is fine as long as the home is taken care of. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Y'all getting quiet already.
Amen.
What I'm saying is that we have gotten so far away from the biblical blueprint.
Yes, sir, we have.
that we've got daddy staying at home and mama's out working. We got daddy's raising the kids. We got mama out there at the factory. Daddy can never be a mama, and mama can never be a daddy.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, we got this thing all confused. I got daddy staying home, mama out working, when God never intended that to be that way. I've got nothing against ladies working.
Amen.
I think it's good if they do work, amen, but not at the detriment of the home. That's not God's plan. The Bible gives the details of how these roles are played. By the way, a biblical Christian home cannot consist of two men.
Right.
It cannot consist of two women. A biblical Christian home can be validated by the Bible spiritually, but can also be validated by its benefits physically. God in the beginning said, be fruitful and multiply. Yep. The only multiplication a man can do with another man is on addition on a paper. The only multiplication a woman can do with another woman is addition on paper. It's the only addition. They cannot have more children, two wives together and two men together. You show me one. Well, they can get artificial insemination. What if that didn't exist? Two ladies together cannot have a baby. Two men together cannot have a baby. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So I don't care what President Obama signed into law saying it's okay. God said it ain't okay. Two men can't reproduce physically, neither can two women reproduce physically. God's plan can be proved physically, scientifically, and spiritually. God puts us in a home as a child, then later as a husband or wife if we so choose. We just need to follow our lines in Scripture because the script never changed. Wives always need to submit, husbands always need to love, and children always need to obey.
Yes, sir.
Period.
Yes, sir.
Well, what if my parents aren't doing the right thing? God didn't put that equation in there. He said, children, obey your parents.
Mm-hmm.
What if my wife is not doing the right thing? Do I still have to love her? God didn't put that equation in there.
He did not.
What if my husband is not worth submitting to? God didn't put that equation in there. He just said, do your job. By the way, you do your role, you play your role, you let God take care of the other roles. My sister is an actress right now. And she's up in Wisconsin doing a play. And I was asking her some questions. And basically her response was, that's not my job. I'm just an actress. That's the director's job. Your job is to play your role. Your job is not to get your partner right or your children right. Well, it is your part of your job to get your children right, amen. But it's not your part to get your spouse right. Your part is to play your part and do your job. And you let God work on your partner. You changing your spouse or your husband or your wife will only frustrate them.
Mm-hmm.
They will say, well, why did you marry me? I was this way when you married me. Amen.
Amen there, Pastor.
And heaven forbid you say, well, I married you to change you to what I wanted you to be.
Mm.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Really? What did you want me to be? Well, more than what you are. That's how problems get started.
Yes, sir.
The Christian home and marriage is under attack today. 70% of military marriages end in divorce, and the number is rising. These are often marriages of convenience, instability, and selfishness, oftentimes. I believe one of the key reasons for marital difficulties and divorce today is due to hurt feelings and wounded spirits. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hurt feelings and wounded spirits. Some of these hurt feelings and wounded spirits can come from two basic sources, conditionals and comparatives. Say, preacher, what's a conditional? A conditional states, I will if you will. For instance, I will be faithful if you are faithful. I will love you if you will love me. However, if you don't love me, I won't love you. If you're not faithful to me, I won't be faithful to you. That's a conditional. The only conditional that you should have vowed was until death do we part. Now, if you die, I've got nobody to be married to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
By the way, a dead spouse is nothing you want to be married to. You say, well, preacher, sometimes my husband acts like he dead. Well, that's another story. Till death do we part.
Yes, sir.
Conditional say, I will if you will. Comparative states this. Why can't you be more like mother? Why can't you be more like father? Why can't you be more like my brother? Why can't you be more like my sister? Why can't you be more like Bill or Sue or Bobby or Sally or Jimmy? Why can't you be more like the neighbor? If you wanted them so bad, you should have married them.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have this idea that if they're not what I want them to be, I can make them what I want them to be. No, you can't. God has given husbands a role. They've got to play it. God has given wives a role. They need to play it. God has given children a role. They need to play it. You cannot play somebody else's role for them and be successful. I could say I'm going to play president. I can do a much better job than Obama or Trump.
Amen.
I would be very unsuccessful.
Oh, yeah.
I have not the backing of Congress nor the authority.
Amen.
But as a pastor, I can do a pretty good job because I got the authority of God.
Yes, sir.
As a pastor, I've got the grace of God. As a pastor, I can do a pretty good job. As a parent, I can do a pretty good job with the grace of God. Well, as a parent, I can do a pretty good job with the Word of God. As a parent, I can do a pretty good job with the Spirit of God. Why? It's my role. It's what God has given me. So most marriages break up because of hurt feelings and wounded spirits. And those hurt feelings and wounded spirits often come from those two basic sources, conditionals and comparatives. The Bible is very clear that God gave and intended for husbands and wives to have different but complementary roles. There's some prerequisites, though, to playing the role. In your Bibles, in Ephesians chapter number 5, notice verse number 18. Because we've already preached on Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10, 11, 12, 13. But before we even come to that, there were some things that they needed to have down pat. And there's some prerequisites before we can even operate in our role. Prerequisites to performing the roles. If we're going to perform in our role of responsibility, we need to know that a performance is motorized. Notice what he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. This is not a suggestion, it's a command. You cannot be the husband or the wife or the child you need to be without being filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Self will get on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And when self gets on the throne, you're going to be in trouble because self does not operate like the Savior. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
As soon as you get your little feelings hurt, I'm going right home to mommy. Mommy, you know what she did. She said, my feet stink.
Yo.
If mama got some guts, she'd tell you, your feet do stink. She's just trying to help you to wash them.
Amen, Pastor.
I will. Mommy, he said this to me. And he said, I can't cook. Mama got some sense. She said, well, you can't cook. You need to get Betty Crocker out.
Amen.
He hurt my feelings. She hurt my feelings. They compared me to Martha. They compared me to Sam. They compared me to Billy. You better be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
You filled with the Spirit, you're not going to worry about that. You're just going to play your role. And so the performance is motorized. I cannot be what I need to be without having the motorization of the Spirit working in me. Be filled with the Spirit. And if I'm filled with the Spirit, some other things should be happening. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you're singing to the Lord, guess what? You're not listening to a bunch of criticism.
Amen.
Because everybody's a critic.
Amen.
Well, you don't make it like my mama made it. Well, you don't make it. You didn't build that like my dad built stuff. Well, you didn't fix the car like my dad. He'd had it done, in 25 minutes. It took you 25 days. Well, I'm not your dad. I'm not your mom. Be filled with the Spirit. Hey, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with some singing. And notice what he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Praise God you burnt that toast. Praise God you're not as good a mechanic as my dad. We got to go spend some money and get it fixed now. Because you're good at this and my dad's not good at that. Hey, everybody can't be good at everything. My dad could fix anything he touched. I can break everything I touch. Hey, everybody doesn't have the same abilities nor the same gifts and the same talents. God gives one thing to another. So it's unfair to compare your husband or your wife to somebody else because they're not that person. What am I talking about? Our roles define having a sweet marriage. So it's giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this performance is motorized by the Spirit of God, by singing to God, by speaking to God, giving thanks for things. Oftentimes marriages struggle and will find difficulty because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hence, we can't do God's will in our roles. May I go on record for saying that the Bible, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be critical, the Bible never speaks about girlfriends and boyfriends. So don't expect your girlfriend to act like a husband, a wife. Got to catch myself there. And don't expect your boyfriend to act like a husband, because they're not. But why don't you submit, girlfriend? Because it says, wife, submit, you won't marry me. Take that. But why won't you love me as Christ loved the church? Because I'm not your husband. Yeah. I'm just saying the Bible speaks nothing of girlfriend and boyfriend relationships. God validates marriage. He says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So God says nothing about girlfriends and boyfriends, but he says quite a bit about marriage. By the way, if a couple is not married, then it's called fornication when they're intimately involved. If they are married, then it's called adultery. God speaks highly about that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So if I'm married and I have a relationship outside of the marriage, it's called adultery. If I have a relationship outside of marriage, then it's just called fornication. God doesn't deal with any other thing. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting back to the book. See, we've got to be educated and updated to what God says, because we're looking at Hollywood. We're looking at what the world says. Hey, have an affair. Have this. Go sleep with that. Go sleep with this person. Go do this and go do this. Got movies called Scandal.
What
kind of low-down information is that? I'm a scandal. Normal, that's about it. Scandal.
Scandal.
Got the president up and all this foolishness that should have been made when Clinton was in the office, but that's another story, amen?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
God validates marriage. If a couple's not married, it's called fornication. If they are married, it's called adultery. It's in the Bible, amen? God has no other substitute relationships other than that. We have this idea that he does, and he doesn't. It was supposed to be meant that if a bride goes down the aisle in white, it means she's a virgin. She's pure. That's what it was supposed to mean. And everybody and their brother wear white. Married 16 times, got white. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Sister Honest, amen. The Bible is solid when it comes to girlfriends and boyfriends, because there was no such thing in biblical times. They were either engaged or betrothed, as the Bible said, which was an agreement or a marriage commitment to marry. The mandates for the husband were to be just like they were married, basically, but they were not intimately involved. And the mandates of husbands and wives did not extend to shack-ups and live-ins and wannabes. You say, preacher, that's mean. I'm just being honest. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure that if we're going to have some biblical homes, we've got to get back to what the Bible says. We got to get back to what God said. We cannot have Hollywood standard. We can't have mama and daddy standard if they didn't do it right. We can't have grandma and grandpa standard if they didn't do it right. We can't have anybody standard. I've got to get back to what the Bible says the standard is. Say, preacher, that's mean. By the way, not only do you have hurt feelings and wounded spirits from conditionals and comparatives, another problem that marriage partners seem to have is that one is saved and one is not. One said they were saved and they were really not saved when the other one really was saved. And you talk about headaches, heartaches, and woe. That puts a strain on any marriage, because now one doesn't want to go to church. One doesn't want to pray. One doesn't want to read the Bible. One doesn't want to do anything spiritual, but they said they're saved. They say they know God. They say they've been born again. They say they've done the thing. They said they prayed the sinner's prayer. You might have prayed the sinner's prayer, but you don't have the Savior's power. It's a big difference. Big difference. Not only do we see these prerequisites for forming the roles, performance is motorized, but performance is mandated. Notice what he says in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He says, I want you both to submit yourselves together. Participation is mandated, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so in other words, I'm to look at my marriage relationship and see that I'm submitting to my wife or my husband the same way I am submitted to God, in the fear of God. Everything has order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three yet one. The angels have order. There's archangels, cherubs, seraphims, and angels. They have order. Even the demons have order, as we saw in Ephesians 6:12. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. The home has order. Adam was created first, then Eve was created. The home has order, just like all things. And God says, let all things be done decently and in order. If it's done decent order, guess what? God will bless. God will bless. Not only is performance motorized, be filled with the Spirit. Participation is mandated, submitting yourselves one to another. Participation is mutual, says one to another. Hopefully you agree with your vows to have and to hold till death do you part, because he says you need to submit one to another. And notice performance is also in the view of the master. He says in the fear of God. So before he even gets to the relationship between the husband and the wife, he said, there's something that you need to do. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be thankful. You need to make sure that you're giving thanks and submitting yourselves one to another. Then he gets into the practicing of the roles. Wives, submit. Wives, submit. Well, why he got to list the wives first? Because he's God. By the way, when you go to your job, do they tell you what the president does, or do they tell you what you ought to do? When you go to your job, they tell you what you ought to do. Don't you worry about what the president does. He's got his own business up there. Now you don't go, well, what the president do? Ain't none of your business what he does. What if he plays golf all day? It's his business.
Yes, sir.
You don't walk into your corporation and say, well, I want to know what the president does first. They'll say, well, you don't want to work here then. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
We always want to know, well, what about them? What are they going to do? Who cares what they do? You just do what you're told to do. Or you're not going to have a job. Brother Aaron, when you went to Walmart, did they tell you what the Walmart CEO does the first day you walked in? Or did they tell you what you ought to do? Amen. Well, why do I have to sweep the floor and the CEO gets to sit around and, you know, eat caviar? Because he's the CEO. And your job description says broom pusher. Doesn't say CEO. Well, why my husband just have to love me when I got to submit to him and he ain't worth submitting to anyway? You shouldn't have married him.
Amen.
Come on now, you said you loved him. But then when God said submit, I remember we was over in Belgium and Pastor Bennett was performing a marriage seminar or service. And the lady was one of those real headstrong ladies. Y'all know some of those ladies, amen? just headstrong. I wear the pants in this family. She was in the army, and she really did. Amen. I wear the pants, man. And then they went down to the vows, you know, to have and to hold and to death do we part and all this. And she came to the part to love and obey. And she stopped.
Say what?
To love. And the pastor was kind of like, and obey? To love. And obey? To love. And you say, it took an act of Congress to get her to say that. Remember that, honey? She stumbled over that like me, as looking at him like me, obey him? Are you kidding me? Obey that? But you get ready to marry that. And you don't want to obey that? Then I bet we better cancel this right now. She finally got it out of her mouth, amen. It took a while, amen. But she got it out. The practicing of the roles, let's look at that. We see the prerequisites to performing the roles is in verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, but now the practicing of the roles. With the prerequisites down, now it's time to practice the roles that have been assigned, starting with the wife. The wife's submission to her husband is talked about first. The Bible does not give much else as a requirement here in this passage. It doesn't say she has to be a good cook. It doesn't say she has to keep the house clean. It doesn't say that she's got to shine the shoes. It doesn't say she prepares four meals a day. It doesn't say that she washes the diapers. It doesn't say anything else other than wife, submit yourself to your own husband. It doesn't give any other prerequisites. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So husband, if she's not a good cook, tough.
That's good, Pastor.
She's not a good house cleaner. Yeah, cleaner. Cleaner, tough. Teach her how to do it. Get your lazy bones up and do it yourself. There's a thought. Y'all looking at me like, me clean house? Yes, you clean house.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Gregory, do you clean house?
Yes.
We training him now. He's going to be a good catch one day. He's cooking right now. He's cleaning. Taking out the garbage. We training him real good. Some girl's going to be real blessed to get him in the future. We got to let him go first, though. Let him go. There's a chief dishwasher. There's a chief cook. Amen. You can't get married with dad. I think this is the time. When you get 86 years old, you can get married. So we're done washing dishes. You can get married. Amen. No, I'm picking at you, G2. The Bible does not give comment on abusive situations either, if you would see. What does it say? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I know we're living in a society where wives are being abused. And wives are being taken advantage of. But God never mentions submit if you're not abused. As tragic as that may be. And I'm not making light of that either. There's a lot of abuse going on towards ladies, towards women, towards girls. And I don't think God likes that at all. And if you are abusive, let me tell you something. You need to be a man and get right with God. And you need to stop it. Whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's physical abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, whether it's emotional abuse, whether it's psychological abuse, I don't care what kind of abuse it is, you need to stop it. And you need to get right with God. That should never be tolerated from a Christian. Never, ever. And it's never acceptable to God, although it does go on. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible doesn't address that. Doesn't address abusive situations or questions that wives may have. That's where you counsel with your pastor and your pastor's wife. And you say, Pastor, pastor's wife, this is the situation that I've got going on right now. What should I do? Our job then is to counsel you based upon the Word of God. And if you're looking for a quick answer for us to say, divorce the rascal, you're probably not going to get that from us. See, that's why I didn't come to you, because I know you're not going to approve of it. I'm just saying, God is interested in working relationships out. That's why he said, let us come together and reason. God wants to reason with us, and he wants us to reason with each other, but he wants us to reason by the Word of God, not with our own thoughts and our own whims and our own thoughts of aspirations. He says, come together, let's reason together. And so we see the wife's submission. There's a quote. It's called the wife's place in the home. It says, women are neither inferior to men nor superior to them. Ladies, I know that comes as a shock. They are simply a different creation. Another pulse beats in their veins. Another way of thinking. Another way of feeling. Another way of being. God made it that way. God did not make a woman to be like a man. Nor did he make a man to be like a woman. That is why women are wonderfully different, wonderfully good at being women, superior, if you please, at being feminine, but tragically poor in assuming man's role of masculinity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I was talking to the men yesterday. We have blurred the lines now. We've got the girls coming into the boys' club. We've got the girls coming into the Boy Scouts. And early on, we're blurring these lines where we've got these girls coming into the boys' club and these girls coming into the Boy Scouts. So boys can't even be boys anymore. They're introduced to dolls and femininity at such a young age. The lines are being blurred. And so it's okay to be feminine. It's okay to cry like Sally. It's okay to have these dolls. It's okay to do that. Why? We got them in the girls' club, got them in the boys' club, got them in the Boy Scouts. The girls can come in here and infiltrate and just tear down the lines of masculinity and femininity. Now we can just be one. We are the world. We are the children. You might say we are worldly. We are the children.
Amen.
And the lines are all blurred now, so boys don't know how to be boys. They don't know how to play with trucks and G.I. Joes, and G.I. Joes are action figures, not dolls. He said, they're playing with dolls. It's an action figure. There is a difference. Very small difference, but there is one. Ours have beards, yours don't, amen. And so they're blurring these lines of femininity and masculinity. Nowadays, the style is men wear these painted on pants just as tight as a girl's clothes. The britches are either hanging down or they got these painted on pants, hugging their little ankles and walking around all feminine. Boys ought not twitch and switch. You say, well, my bones are made that way. Well, you better go to a chiropractor. I'm just saying the lines are blurred nowadays. The lines are blurred. I mean, we see people from behind. We don't know if they're a boy or a girl. I said, G2, is that a boy or is that a girl? And G2, I don't know, Dad. It's kind of tough. Call Bob or Martha and see which one turns around. Amen. It's hard to tell nowadays. Well, the lines are blurred. The lines are blurred. We're introducing children to things that they ought not be introduced to. The boys' club was fine enough being without girls. The Boy Scouts was fine enough being without girls. Now the girls had to join in. Ironically, the boys don't go to the Girl Scouts. And the boys don't go to the Girls Club or to the Girl Scouts. But the girls got to come over there. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It started right there. And so every woman needs to understand what God wants of her in marriage, in the marriage relationship. Herein lies her happiness, her fulfillment, her satisfaction. To step out of that God-given place and seek to fill another role brings untold misery to all who are involved, because now the husband can't be the husband because the wife is trying to be the husband. The children can't be the children because the mom is trying to be the child or trying to be what she ought not be. And everybody suffers. Why? Because mama can't be what she ought to be because she's too busy trying to be somebody she ought not be. And I understand, ladies, sometimes you got deadbeat husbands that won't be a man. I understand that. The wives, when wives struggle with submission, it can be traced back to Genesis 3:16. Hold your finger there and go all the way back to Genesis, where the problem all started. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. For the wife's basic thing is submission. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. After the fall takes place, and after they eat of the fruits that they ought not eat of, God begins to give out punishments or disciplines, if you would. And notice what he says down there in verse number 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He says, woman, when you conceive, it's not going to be happy, happy, happy. It's going to be painful, 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 with sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now, you may have seen this, but I have not seen one woman go through her entire labor period like this. Ah, it's so fun. Just having a good time having this baby. Yeah. Bloop. Yeah, look at that. Ah, no. I hear a bunch of, ow, I'm going to get you for doing this to me. Give me your hand. I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that. I remember when G2 was trying to come out, my wife was in pain. She was in pain. I don't see a lot of happy, happy. Now, afterwards, it's that way. Why? Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Notice this, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Doesn't mean I'm going to have warm fuzzies for him. And he shall rule over thee. If it meant that, he wouldn't have said, and he will rule over you. It means that she's going to desire the masculine position in the home. She's going to want to be the one in charge. She's going to want to be the one giving out the orders. Why? Because they were co-equal, if you would. Although Adam was still in charge, they were co-equal. But afterwards, God said, now you're going to submit to that man. Your desire is going to be to get back to where you once were when you walked in the garden when there was no problems. Adam was still first. You were still second. But your desire is going to be to get back there and be like he is, and he will have to rule over you. He will literally have to keep you down. The average woman will take control of that household in a heartbeat. You give him a chance.
Yeah, there you go, Pastor.
And the logic is, well, I'm better at it than him anyway, but God didn't give you that position. I can say I'm better at flying a plane than the pilot. But guess what? I'm not a pilot, and I don't have a license. And the minute something goes wrong, you know what they're going to say? You ain't got no license. Go to jail. I'm just saying the role. Her desire would be to her husband, but he says, he shall rule over you. That's going to be what you want, but you're not going to get it because he's going to keep you down. I mean, I'm not saying we go in there with a Heil Hitler and mentality either. Go back over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Well, that's when you can tell you got a new Bible and pages start sticking together like that. Amen. Four things I want us to look at here real quick with the lady. Keeping in mind the prerequisites of the chapter. Notice what it says, because the wife's going to struggle with submission. Notice verse 23 of chapter 5. For the husband is the head of who? The wife. What did you say in Genesis? Your desire is going to be to him, but he's going to have to what? Rule over you. For the husband is the head of the wife. Last time I checked, your head is in charge of what goes on.
Yes, sir.
Last time I checked, your body listens to your head. Last time I checked, whatever you do, this head is in charge of it. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the who? Church.
Church.
Pastor, I thought you was in charge. No, I didn't die for any of y'all. That's Jesus. And he is the savior of the body. Although submission is a command, submission is out of courtesy or willingness. The word submission or submit means to willingly and voluntarily place yourself under one's authority and be loyal. By the way, everyone that joins this church submits to my leadership. And their job is to submit to my authority and be loyal. Would to God that were true. We wouldn't have problems in churches. Would to God that were true in marriages, we wouldn't have problems. But we have problems in marriages because people don't do exactly that. Notice the action involved. Wives, submit. It's voluntary, placing oneself under another's authority and then being loyal. This should not be a problem since you married him for better or for worse. And right now, it may be worse.
Yes, sir.
Well, he wasn't this fat when we got married.
Ho, ho, ho.
His belly wasn't that large. He had more hair. I'm glad I was bald when I married my wife.
Amen.
She can't say, well, you don't have no hair. I ain't had none when you married me.
Amen, Pastor.
She can't. Well, the one thing she can blame on me, when she married me, I had stinky feet.
Ooh.
She made me put my shoes outside. She said, honey, you got to put them outside. Put some odor eaters in them. The odor eaters didn't want my shoes. I put them things outside, you know, they drive the flies away. Flies start going, and in time, I started taking care of my feet. I used to wear sneakers all the time. Boys don't wear sneakers all the time. It's not good for your shoes. Wear a variety of shoes. Sometimes go without shoes so your feet can breathe. Anyway, for better or for worse, the action involved, wives submit. Then notice the aim involved. Wives, submit yourself to your own. Notice that own. The aim involved is that the one you married is the one that you submit to and the one that has the authority over you. Not any other authority figure. Not your daddy. Not your uncle.
Right.
Not your grandpa. The authority of figure over you when you get married, that says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they should be one flesh. The order shifts from your mother and father to your husband. Every time it talks about the wife's submission, it always says own, 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 own. Preacher, why does it say own? Because the woman's sensitivity says, I want to go to whoever seems right. Come on now, trace it back to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Satan sound right? But wasn't God right?
Amen.
And where did she go? She went to the one who sounded right.
Yes, sir.
So the Bible always says, submit to your own husband. Don't look at somebody else's authority. Go to your husband. I'm going to charge him, and so you listen to him. If he don't do right, I'll get him.
Oh, amen,
Her sensitivity automatically makes her want to go to the one that I think is right or the one I feel is right. God didn't ask you to think or feel about who's right. He told you to submit to your own husband. Your own. You say, well, he's a dirtbag. I'm sorry. Well, he's not right. Here's something. Pray for him.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I told you, when I see my wife on her knees, I start checking myself. I see her in the room on her knees. I'm like, Lord, what did I do? It's not my fault. What did I do? I start checking myself when I see her on her knees. She might be praying for the kids. I don't know it. I'm like, I'm checking myself. I'm like, what do I do? And when she prayed, things happen. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. Whatever it is, I didn't do it. And if I did do it, I'm sorry I did it. And if I didn't do it, I need to start doing it. Tell me what it is so I can do it. Hey, start praying. The aim involved yourself to your own husband. Notice the attitude involved is unto Christ. It says, wives, submit yourselves. The action is submission. The aim is to your own husband. The attitude is as unto Christ, the same way you would to Christ. The submission of the wife is like she would to Jesus Christ himself. And there's also an activity involved as well. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Go over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to close here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul giving instructions to Timothy on how to govern and guide the church. He says this in chapter 2, verse 4. I'm sorry, did I say 2 Timothy? I meant 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He's giving some instructions. No, that's not it either. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Timothy at all. It's Titus. Watch it when you just put T-I. Amen. That's the new Bible. Yeah, blame it on the new Bible. Amen. Well, at least about Adam, you know, Adam said that woman whom thou gavest to be with me. She did. Give me, you know, he tried to blame it on her. Yes. What hast thou done? That woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me to eat. That's what happened. Amen. Titus 2. And notice what verse number 4 says, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Now, the job of the aged women is to teach the young women to be sober. To do what? Love their husbands. To do what? Love their children. To be what? To be discreet. As one preacher said, discreet, not out in the street. Amen. It's chaste, as being pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own who? Husbands. Every time he talks about the wife's submission, he always says your own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. He says your own husband, keeper at home, your own husband. Make sure you're listening to your husband. But he's not godly. He's not spiritual. Pray for him. And the Bible that you know to do, do it. Go over to 1 Timothy this time, chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This time I'm sure. No, I'm never sure, but amen. I'm close to being sure. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And notice what he says in verse number 14. He's talking about the widows who lose their husbands. Notice verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So one place he said, be a keeper at home, love your husbands, obey your own husbands. Over here he says, guide the house. Proverbs says the same thing, basically. Proverbs chapter 31, go over there just for a moment. Proverbs 31. This is the virtuous woman that we always hear about on Mother's Day. Proverbs 31. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Verse number 10, for her price is far above rubies, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So he didn't have need of anything. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Think about that. She will do him good and not evil, the virtuous woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to the house, her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. I know certain times my wife, she'll go to bed early, and she'll wake up in the midnight hours, and man, she'll be cooking. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, smell food cooking. I'm thinking, my soul, something smells good. I want to go back to bed. Now I want to go to the dinner table. Amen. And she's waking up in the middle, she's cleaning and doing this, and all of us are sound asleep, oblivious to what she's doing. And she's scurrying around the house, getting house cleaned up, getting clothes ironed, and doing all this because she didn't have any distractions from us. Amen. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow of her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and pure. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well the ways of her household, and eateth not bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Notice that, he praiseth her. Say it again, he praiseth her. Men, you cannot praise your wife enough for what they do. Well, she don't do much. She does a whole lot more than you'd ever imagine. She does a whole lot more than you'd ever imagine. I watch my wife and the things that she does and how she juggles ladies' ministries and teaching over here, and she juggles sewing clothes and cooking food and cleaning house and scheduling dentist appointments and doctor's appointments and running the kids around and homeschooling, and my head starts spinning just watching her. Mm-hmm. How do you keep all this down? The grace of God. Grace of God. The grace of God. You can never praise your wife enough. You can't. You can't, because you have no clue what all she does. My wife just left me for one night and went to one of them lady retreats. And I thought, glory, this is hard business. You know, if the kids were asleep all day, that'd be good, but they didn't sleep all day. They were busy, and I needed to be busy. And I couldn't be busy because they kept me busy. I said, man, how does she do it? Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You can't praise her enough. You can't praise her enough. Let me say it again. You can't praise her enough. Young people, you can't praise your parents enough. Your mom. You can't thank her enough. She carried you for 9 months in her womb. Your daddy carried you for 9 minutes. And his arms, and he's tired. Take this lump. This is heavy stuff. Mama's carried you around for 9 months. Amen. I carried, who was it, G2? He gave me tennis elbow. I had to go to the doctor. I said, man, doctor, I said, my arm is just killing me right here. He said, you just have a child recently? I said, yeah. He said, do you carry him like this? I said, yeah. He said, you got tennis elbow. I said, see what you did to me, son? You gave me tennis elbow. I was never played tennis. Now I got tennis elbow. Mama's carried the kids for 9 months. 9 months.
Wow.
Children, you could never praise them enough. Fathers, you could never praise them enough. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. By the way, as you search through the scriptures, you never find a woman that treated Christ badly or spoke against him or tried to harm him in any way. They always ministered to Christ. You check the New Testament. Ladies never did anything ill to Jesus Christ. They were the first ones at the tomb. They were always ministering to him. They were the one providing for him. Peter's mother was sick. Jesus came in and healed her. The Bible says she got up and started ministering to Jesus. You think she would lay in the bed milking a little bit, amen? But she jumped right up and started serving Jesus. They never spoke badly against him. So should be the attitude and actions of the wife toward her own husbands. There shouldn't be no vicious words, no insubordination, no turning of the kids against him, no undermining of his authority, just working together. And often the way a wife submits to her husband is a good indicator of how she submits to the will of God for her life. Colossians 3:18 says it this way, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And we'll talk about the husband next week. So wives, get your husbands to come back next week.
Amen.
So he can get his thrashing, his encouragement.
Amen, Pastor.
By the way, when you look at this relationship, it should be a marriage made in heaven. The Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the church should be submissive to Christ. The wife should be submissive to the husband. And if the husband is what he needs to be in his love department, the wife will be what she needs to be in her submission department. But even if he's not what he needs to be in the love department, wives, don't let up on the submission department. And husbands, even if she's not what she needs to be in the submission department, don't let up on the love department. Why? God is the rewarder. Pray. Pray. What makes all this work? Being born again. Being saved. Knowing for sure if you died today that you're going to heaven. My question is, you may have a relationship, you may have a marriage, but do you have the marriage relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Have you had your sins forgiven? The Bible is clear. There's a fact of sin. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But then there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. But there's forgiveness of sin. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you don't have to be in a relationship without hope and without help. You can be born again and have the help of God Almighty. Knowing the limitations that we all have as being sinners. A husband's a sinner, the wife's a sinner, the children are a sinner. Knowing that limitation, God gives us grace from above. We're born again to handle our responsibility and our role by his grace and his mercy. I would encourage you, if you've never been born again, do so today. If you haven't taken your role lightly, haven't taken your role seriously, biblically, as a woman, take it seriously. Maybe you're a single parent, take that role responsible and seriously. Maybe you're a single dad, take that role seriously and responsibly. But don't leave here today without being born again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and as we have tried to look at the responsibility, the role that the husbands and the wives play, Lord, we just scrape the surface of the wife and the husband comes next week. Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to look at the Word of God and see that what you said, we've got to get back to the original blueprint. Husbands need to get back to the blueprint. Wives need to get back to the blueprint of the Bible, and children need to get back to the blueprint. Wives need to submit, husbands need to love, and children need to obey. Thank you for your word. Help us today as we look at being better equipped for our role to play the part that you have given to us at birth, either a woman or a man, and help us do our dead level best to be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, help that one that's struggling right now with the decision to trust Christ as Savior. They may be religious, but they need to be righteous. They need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, make it clear to them they must be born again. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, just for a moment, ask you a very important question this morning. Is heaven your home? If you were to die right now, are you sure that you would go to heaven? Have you been forgiven of your sins? And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's not talking about anyone who just has any kind of belief on the Lord can be saved. It means you've got to believe on him and rely upon him and only him to take you to heaven. And you've got to confess your sins to Jesus Christ, tell him you're a sinner. And you're in danger of going to a place called hell to pay for your sins, but you don't want to go there. And you want to be saved. Anyone like that here today that would say, preacher, would you remember me in your prayer? If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to go. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely positive I would go. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And when looking around, you slip that hand up and I'll acknowledge it. And you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl all across this room. I'm not sure I'm born again. I got a question about that. Raise it high. I'll see it and I'll acknowledge it and put it right back down. Well, how about this, Dan? Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a child? If you are, you should be filled with the Spirit. You should be playing and practicing your role as a husband, as a wife. Maybe through the course of the message, God showed you an area you need to work on. Would you ask God to help you with that area? Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar when the music starts and pray. Say, Lord, I need help in this area. Wife, for you it may be submission. Husband, with you it may be love. Children, for you it may be obedience. It may be comparatives. You may be comparing. It may be conditionals. I will if you will. Make it a permanent. I will despite what you do. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't look around. Let's all stand to our feet. Hymn of invitation is going to be played. If God spoke into your heart, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray about something. Would you come as she plays? Would you come? Maybe you've got a son or a daughter about to get married. Maybe you need to come and pray for them. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter involved in a relationship. Maybe you need to pray for them. Maybe as a husband, you need to pray for your wife or yourself. Maybe as a wife, you need to pray for yourself or your husband. Maybe as a child, you need to pray for your parents. I don't know what the need is, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in somehow today. I know primarily we dealt with the wife, but maybe through the course of the message, God spoke to your heart as a husband, as a wife. Maybe you're engaged to be married, and God spoke in your heart. Maybe you're doing things all wrong, and you say, oh God, give me the grace to do things right. Help me to live as I ought to live. Help me to be the Christian I ought to be. Help me, Lord, develop love as a single man so that I could love my wife when I get married. Lord, help me as a wife to develop a submissive spirit so that I can be a submissive wife when I get married. Or maybe as a child, you say, Lord, make me an obedient child. But I can do what I ought to do in the sight of God. One thing remains. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. God wants you to be saved. Say, preacher, what's the alternative? There's a gruesome place waiting called hell where God will punish sin. And God does not desire that upon anyone. That's why he gave his only begotten son, because he loves you. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you be saved today? Only take but a moment of your time and trust Christ as Savior. Acknowledging that you're a sinner. Acknowledging you can't save yourself. Acknowledging that the wages of sin is death. But also acknowledging that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, it doesn't come by being religious. It doesn't come by being a member of the church. It doesn't come by being baptized. It doesn't come by giving. All those things are great things, but those are not heaven-bound things that gets a person's sins forgiven and gets them access to heaven. Those are great things that a Christian ought to do, but not one that will get you to heaven. Would you come? Would you come? Our Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the biblical blueprint that does not change, and thank you for the roles that don't change no matter what we do, no matter how we try to change them by making a man a woman and a woman a man, by making the man do the woman's job and the woman doing the man's job, and by making the children do the parents' job. Lord, the order does not change. Wives still must submit, and husbands must still love, and children must obey. And God, this world is crazy that we live in right now. It's twisted. It's upside down. Lord, I pray that you would enable Christians that have right homes and righteous homes to turn it right side up and help us to live for God, to be the people that you would have us to be. None of us are perfect. We understand. But Lord, help us to be a little bit more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. And Lord, for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's entertaining the thought, if I were to die right now, am I sure I'd go to heaven? Place it upon their heart to get it settled today, that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. thank you for loving us. Bring us back tonight for our DVD. We might enjoy that. Be a blessing.